People will know what I speak about, but we had a pastor in Stellenbosch that when it was cold and rainy in the winter, Pastor Sias always said it's the spirit of divide that's keeping people at home. Now, I never thought I would say that in Windhoek in summertime, but when I woke up early this morning, it was actually cold. So maybe some of our brothers and sisters also felt it's cold, but nevertheless, it's wonderful to have you guys here, and it's always great that we can worship together. Yeah, I want to pray for us. Father God, we want to come this morning, Lord God, and we want to say yes to you, Father God, to the great I am, Lord God, and we want to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God, and we just want to thank you, Father God, that we can be here this morning, Lord, and now in our hearts, in our spirits, that we can be reconciled to you, Lord, and Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross, Lord God, and that we can have communion this morning, Lord God, to celebrate what this wonderful event means to us, Father God, your body and the blood, Father God, that we know, Lord, as Marius has said this morning, that we are Gentiles, Father God, all of us, Father God, but you changed, Father God, you planned the church, Father God, yes, Lord God, you revealed your plan for all of us, Father God, that we can come into relationship with you through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can live, Father God, and that your spirit can lead us and guide us, Father God. And I just pray this morning, Lord God, that our ears and our hearts and our spirits will be open, Lord God, to receive from you, Lord God. And we just bless your name and we worship you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, friends, I want to just encourage you again. Please come and next week when Pastor Henny Swart from Stellenbosch will be here, especially the Saturday morning, he's really an interesting pastor to listen to. He knows a lot about scripture and apologetics and those things that he's going to talk about. So please bring your friends and anyone who's got questions on the Sabbath or anything. It's going to be in a workshop format. So, he's going to teach a little bit, and then there's going to be a lot of opportunities where you can ask questions like, you know, where does God come from and where does he exist? And, you know, all those questions that you always wanted to know. And also for you guys, the youth, he will be there on Sunday afternoon, so he's going to spend time with you, so you're going to have time with him as well, that you can bring all your questions, all those doctrine, all those things you never knew exactly how the puzzle comes together. You can also come and listen to him. I'm really looking forward to that myself. Thank you, Martha. Now, I want to know from you guys, is there anyone, why did God give us scripture? Why do we have scripture today? What are you? Manual for our lives, definitely. Anyone else? Why do we have scripture? Redeeming, yeah, definitely. We've got scripture also that God can speak to us. We can know his heart. We can learn so much, especially when we read from the Old Testament. We learn so much about God's character. Now, I want to ask you a second question this morning. Obviously, firstly, God gave us scripture that we can understand, and all the letters that the apostles have written, it was for the churches back then, but it's also for us here and now. And as you read scripture, maybe I mustn't ask you to put up your hands, but I sincerely hope that you guys would all say yes this morning, that you feel that God speaks to you through scripture. Now, I remember in my life there was times that I really opened my Bible and I read, and I knew then God was speaking to me. You know, not this like trying any place, open it, and hopefully God will give me an answer to my question. I'm not speaking about that. I'm talking about really reading scripture, getting into it, and does God reveal something to you? As I said, I don't want you guys to raise your hands, because maybe you don't feel like that, or maybe it isn't like that in this season of your life. Maybe you open scripture and you read it, and maybe you kind of fall asleep, or after you've read it and you think back 10 minutes later on about what did I read and what does it mean to me, you almost can't even remember. Now, I remember there was a time in my life that I read scripture, and when I got to praying, it was almost late at night, and then I almost couldn't remember what I read and what it was for. Now, I'm talking now about quite a few years ago, but I read it because I wanted to read it, and I know it was the right thing to do. But you know what? This past year especially, I said to Paul this morning, I think it's the time in my life that I enjoy reading scripture the most, that God blesses me the most. You know, I also shared with him, you know, there's many ways that some pastors, some people, you know, God will give them a word for Sunday, and then they will start to put the puzzle together. Maybe you feel in your heart, or you get it from intercession, that this morning it's going to be about intercession. Now you get some scriptures, and you get it together, and you get your story and your introduction and everything. And that's one way you can compile a sermon. Another way that I feel that God has especially this year been blessing me is when you read scripture, you know, with not the intention of finding a sermon. You know, just reading it with the intention to enjoy it. You know, that you just read something and then it will just jump at you. You know, it will just come alive. And then hopefully, you know, being a good student, you will get a good dictionary or you'll go and read a little bit more about the context of this book. And I've really been enjoying it, you know. And for the past 5 Sundays, next Sunday you don't have to listen to me. Pastor Henny will be here, so we won't make it 6 in a row. But every week, you know, when I had my quiet time when I was reading scripture, you know, somewhere in scripture, God just opened something, and I knew that was for church that Sunday. And I've got a few confirmations, and that really blessed me. And when Marius started with the Gentiles this morning, I almost thought he's going to steal my scripture or my sermon. But it's just the unity I believe that we are walking in. So guys, I want to encourage you that when you read scripture, don't read it when you're tired or you're in a hurry, anything like that. Usually you're not going to get much from that. So go and read scripture early morning, sometime during the day that you have time, that when something really opens up to you, that you can spend time on that and ask God more about it. And that is exactly what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to share something. And I didn't, you know, at the start of the week, I didn't have it in mind that I'm going to preach from Ephesians again. Last week, we preached from Ephesians 1 from verse 17 to 19 specifically, and quite a lot of other scriptures as well. But this morning, we're really going to focus on Ephesians 3 from verse 14 to 21. We're going to look at that and what it means. You know, when I read it in the week, I just read it over and over and over. And it just blessed me so much. You know, we've got an inner man, we've got a spirit, something that's alive inside. And as I feed my body steak and chips, I need to feed my inner man as well with good food. And that is scripture. But first of all, I'm just going to start a little bit because I want to preach on something, but maybe I must get a better teacher like Aaron's or someone to teach on hermeneutics and interpreting scripture, because I'm really currently reading a lot on that, and I'm enjoying it so much to understand the letters and the epistles better and the context and to read what's written and what was the circumstances of at that times. And you know, when we understand that, you know, then scripture means so much more. We can get so much more out of it when we know the context and who it was written for and things like that. So I just want us this morning, I hope you're going to enjoy this, but I just want us to quickly just jump through the book of Ephesians and see what it's about. So last week, the scripture that I shared with you that I really felt was for us was from Ephesians 1 verse 17. And it was Paul praying, and I'm actually going to spend time this morning on Paul's second prayer for the church in Ephesus and all the surrounding churches. And that was a region as well, and it was not just only for that one church intended, it was for more than one church. But in Ephesians 1 verse 17, it said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And that was so rich. It was so powerful, and it was Paul praying for the people that they will receive that. And I said, I believe it's for us as well, and we can pray it for each other. And afterwards, there was a lot of ministry and people, that young people especially, that felt that we're going to pray for them, and it was really blessed. But Paul, it starts here in Ephesians, and he's writing to the church there, and then he goes on in the second chapter. He talks about that we have been saved by grace through faith. Now that's a sermon on its own. I'm not going to go too much into that, but that's the way that we come to salvation. We believe in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. Paul said it's something not that we can boast in it or anything. And then he continues. I've got so many scriptures, you know. I'm one of those people, I really enjoy books. We had a lecturer at Stellenbosch University, and when we had a new book, he went like this, and he smelled the book, and he said, oh, it's nothing like the smell of a new book. Now, I enjoy my Bible and my different Bibles also a lot, and for many years I felt I mustn't make a pen or a pencil mark in it because it's almost holy, but I know the religious spirit is also working, and you can take a highlighter. You can usually look at people that know the Lord for a long time. Their Bibles will be full of notes and highlighted places and stuff, and I also started making notes, and you know, and I actually want to read so much to you this morning, but we're not going to have the time for it. But in the second chapter, Paul says, he writes about the grace through faith. And then from verse 11, he talks about brought near by his blood. And that is why we had the communion this morning. We all know the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. It's for our protection. It's for our provision. That blood of him that was spilled there on the cross. Through that we can be reconciled to God. Then he talks to them about that. Now that was not a lot of Jews. That was Gentiles that came to faith. And then he writes from verse 14 on. He said, Christ is our peace. And then he goes on explaining. And then 2 weeks ago, I also preached on Christ, our cornerstone of the church, and explains there. I just want to read verse 19 to you there. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. That means we're not strangers, you know. When someone, you know, most of us come to church regularly, but when someone maybe walks in here that has never been here before, then that person can feel like a stranger. That's why we have ushers to welcome that person. You know, but Scripture says we're not strangers anymore. We're family now. No matter of your background or where you come from or your age or anything. And then I started reading in the week about the mystery that's revealed. Now, what mystery? And then he talks firstly about the mystery revealed and secondly about the purpose of the mystery. And then thirdly, he prays for the church. And then that is it is about the appreciation of the mystery. Now, guys, I want to get you involved a little bit just that I can see you are here this morning. What mystery is Paul writing here about? Anyone that knows or want to take a guess? If you're wrong, it's okay. Warrior, you're not allowed to answer again. Anyone else? Otherwise, I have to give Warrior a chance. Warrior? Amen. Sounds good. Sounds good. Okay, guys. That is what he's talking about. I'm not going to answer it completely now, but through the sermon, you're going to see a lot more. But it was a mystery. Now I must be careful. There's a lot of ladies in the house. Maybe I'm not going to mention that. But there's a few things mysterious that they say we as men and women don't know about each other. And then a little bit later on, Paul is also writing about the husband and the wife. And there's another mystery that he speaks about. And I'm going to be careful this morning not to step on any toes. So maybe I must just go on with Scripture. So let me read to you this part of Scripture that I believe is so rich. I'm going to read it real slowly to you guys. I'm going to read it from the New King James translation. So please listen with me as I read it. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the families in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now that's already a lot, do you agree with me? But now it goes on, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all what we ask or what we think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now that's seven verses. But do you agree with me? There's quite a lot that he's writing about there. There's quite a lot that he's saying there to the people. And remember, he starts off and he says, I bow my knees to the Father. You know, he's praying to God. And that's a figure of speech. And he's saying there, I'm praying for these guys. Now, if you look at the first three chapters of Ephesians, then you'll see there's a lot about the resources that we can plug into. He talks about our peace and the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are citizens together. And then the second three chapters of the second part of Ephesians, the third, from 3 to 6, you'll see there's a lot about how we are supposed to live. Let me just read to you one or two of those headings, because I really believe it's significant to understand the book of Ephesians. He begins in chapter 4 and he says, walk in unity. Now that was the second sermon of this year. I said, in the New Testament you'll find more about unity in the church than about heaven and hell. So I believe it's more important that we can walk in unity than even to talk about heaven and hell, although there's a place for that as well. And then he talks about spiritual gifts, and then he talks about the new man, you know. When we come to Jesus Christ, we are renewed, we renew our minds, we must do it daily. And then he talks about do not grieve the Spirit. Then he goes on, walk in love. And the first, in 5 verse 1, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And then, as you know, from verse 22 onwards, he talks about marriage and talks about the relationship about Jesus and his church. And then he ends off, there's also a part for children and parents, bondservants and masters. And then he ends off by the whole armor that we need to put on, because we are new, but we also need the protection of God for our daily lives. And that is, guys, where it's, Pastor Fred always says, you know, you learned about the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ when you're starting to do spiritual warfare. Then you really know and understand how important it is to know those two things. Now, as I said, I just wanted you to know what the book of Ephesians is about, just a little bit, what the contents is, who it was written to. Now I want us to go this morning, and I'm going to try and do it as slowly as possible, through every of those 7 scriptures. That this morning, the topic isn't the fear of the Lord, or reconciliation, or marriage, or children, raising kids, God, or anything like that. I believe that Scripture is going to speak to us this morning, and that's why I pray that our hearts will be open, and I believe each different Scripture will speak to some of you this morning. Because as I know, as we worship, you know, I know you guys are doing business with God. You're talking about the past week, maybe the things you're expecting of the new week, maybe where you have sinned or done wrong in the past week, anything like that, you know, and I believe these things this morning will speak to all of us. Amen. Do you hope so as well? Good. Okay, let's look at verse 14. As I said, it starts off by, for this reason. Now that means there's something before that. There's something said before that, that we should go back a little bit. And this, what I got out of it, is that the two things, that God is the creator, let me just get it. The wonderful salvation by grace through faith, and the work by Christ on the cross, whereby the Gentiles can now become fellow heirs, you know. It's erfgenomen in Afrikaans. That means we can all be now sons of God, and all of us sitting here, as far as I know, are Gentiles. So it's something really important. And then he says, for this reason, this wonderful reason, that we can all be now sons of God, that we can be alive in Jesus Christ. Now he's going to pray, and that is why he's bowing his knee. Okay? Then he goes on to verse 15, where he says, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Now we must know that it's God's heart, it's the Father's heart, that everyone on the face of the earth will be saved. You know, that all of us will come to the knowledge of Christ. And that is where I started the first sermon of this year, where he talks about that fragrance that all of us should take to the world all around us. You know, it's not just something for show for Windhoek, or maybe the families represented here. It's for all of us, guys. Now, last night I quickly went to our friend Hannes Visser. His birthday is on Tuesday. For those of you who will maybe remember it, I'm going to try also my best to remember it. We quickly went to him and just say hello, and there were some friends and family there. And, you know, I spoke to an older gentleman there, and he knows a lot about the end times especially. And, you know, speaking to him and just reading the signs again and everything happening all around us, and the earthquakes and the this and the that, you know, that we can know that the time is near. It's nearer than ever before. And we talked about it, and I said to him, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ at this stage, we're making such a small impact. Although there's many churches this morning in Windhoek, in Namibia, all around the world, there's so many people that still hasn't come to the knowledge now of Jesus Christ. Now, here it says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That means God is the creator. He gave all of us names. He created the angelic beings in the heavens, and also all of us. He assigned the job and almost everything to us. You know, He created us. He's the Father of everything in the heavens and in the earth. Then when we go to verse 16, He says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Now that, I believe, we should break up into even more smaller pieces that we can fully understand. And that's why I said, you can read this passage, this part of Scripture, you can read it in less than a minute. You can read it in half a minute, I guess. You know, and you can so easily miss the many things that are locked up for all of us here. You know, and that's why I want to encourage you that when you read Scripture, that you have time, that you can ask God beforehand to, in Jesus' name, open it up to you. And He said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Now, the riches of God's glory, we can't understand this morning as we are sitting or standing here. We can't understand how rich His glory are. You know, we can't understand His grace fully. You know, a bit later in this part of Scripture, He said that we should know Christ fully, but at the same time, the more we're getting to know Christ, the more we will see that we can't know Him fully. It's not just possible for us to know the love of Christ fully. It's just not possible for us. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So it's His Spirit that we said last week that we can pray for to give us the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And it's now His Spirit that is also going to strengthen our inner man. If you don't understand the inner man yet, go and read Romans. Go and read Romans 8. Romans 7 as well, and you're going to understand so much more that, you know, we are dead, we are flesh, and we are emotions, and then we are spirit. Our spirit is alive inside, and that is our inner man. That's why I said many times, if you're really in standing in a relationship with Jesus, and for a few days, for whatever reason, you don't pray or don't read Scripture, you're going to start to feel emptiness inside. Have some of you experienced that? There's a few who has experienced that. I've experienced it myself. Now, why is it important that we are strengthened, guys? In the week, someone asked me, can't I preach a sermon on, you know, tough times and being strong and things like that? And now here, there's a little bit on that. It's God that's going to, through His Holy Spirit, strengthen our inner man. That through trials and anything that can come to our side, that we will be rooted and grounded in Him. That He will be our foundation. That our house will be built on that. You know? And it's something that every day we have to ask our Creator, and we ask Jesus Christ that He will strengthen us. I've got so much written here on paper. I'm going to just look at it once or twice because I want you guys to understand that as well. So He's praying. Remember what we are looking at this moment. It's a prayer. So He's praying. He's the apostle, remember? He spent a time in Ephesus. I think it was about 2 to 3 years. And at that stage, He planted the church there. And obviously, He discipled the people. And He stood in relationship with them. And now He's praying for them. Earlier He prayed. The first prayer was that about the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And now this is His second prayer, where He's talking that we will be strengthened. Now, He's praying because He understands what it's about. That all of us will be strengthened. Then in verse 17, He says, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. You know, He says, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. So obviously, if you don't stand in a relationship with Jesus Christ, this scripture doesn't really apply to you. Then you must first come to Jesus Christ. Then you must first go and read John 3 verse 3 where you're going to see that the questions that Nicodemus asked Jesus about being born again. Then you must first grow to that. Now when you're already born again and your inner man is there, then He's going to strengthen you. And there again, He said that we should be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. There's no other place that we can go to. There's no other quick fix in life than Jesus Christ. You know, that's why God says He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And whatever challenge we can face on the face of this earth, no friend, no father or mother can help you as much, or encourage you as much as Jesus Christ. And obviously as the disciples, that when they went out in the boat with him, you know, he calmed the storm. You know, when we small, you know, the last while, we had a lot of thunder. And my little, one of my boys, Gustav, every night, you know, they lay in their room and there's thunder and they can see the light. And then obviously they can hear the thunder. And then he says, and we're going to say it in Afrikaans, he says, "Papa, ek is bang vir die donder, man." You know, and he's afraid because he obviously doesn't understand this completely. But guys, you know, Jesus was the one who calmed the storm. He was the one. So obviously when we face the storms in our lives, then we want him in our boat. In verse 18, "May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height." The Apostle Paul is really making sure that it's not something small here, it's something big. It's the width and the length and the depth and the height and the east and the west, and no matter where you go to, he wants us to fully understand the picture of this thing he's talking about, you know, about the love of Christ as well, and that we can be grounded in that love. And I mean, that love go as far as you can imagine, from the east and the west and to every side. Then also, so he's praying there also for spiritual understanding for us, for that we can comprehend. This is why I said, if we read this, if I read this 7 verses once and quickly, then I know more or less what it's about. But if you go and study every verse, if you break it into smaller little pieces, sometimes maybe even you have to go and get a dictionary and understand the meaning of a word a little better. That's why when he says, "may be able," you know, that means that we can be able to understand, that we can be able to grasp what he's talking about. It's very important that we look at the language and that we understand the language as well. So this morning I'm hoping and trying to give you also, especially for maybe some of those of you who are younger Christians, a bit of something in your hand that when you read scripture, that you can get the most of it. Then in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now just listen, I'm going to read it again. Know the love of Christ. So obviously we must know the love of Christ. We must understand the love of Christ. It is the love of Christ that compels us. That second sermon of the year I talked about, Paul was writing about the love of Christ that compels us to do what we do. And I said it's the love of Christ that also compels me to stand here in the morning, you know. It's a privilege for me to stand and to preach, and for you guys, I believe, to in the worship team or do other ministry. It's not something that it's about money or anything like that. It's about reward that we get, you know. The only thing that we can take with us into eternity is the disciples we make. And that's something very big. Amen. He says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now that means we can't understand it. We can't have enough knowledge, understanding, computer programs, anything that we can understand the love of Christ. Now remember, he's also speaking to the church here, and he's speaking about, as I said in the first part, about this mystery that God has been revealing to the Gentiles. Now the love of Christ, you know, that's the love of for each and every one of us. You know, if you watch the movie, what's the movie I'm referring to, from Mel Gibson, Passion of Christ. When I watched that movie, I cried a lot. It was really emotional to watch it. But it also gave me a better revelation of, many times we talk about Jesus died on a cross, and it's almost a sentence that we use quite often. But it wasn't just going and dying on the cross. The night before Jesus died, he sweated blood. You know, he knew what was coming. He was God, but he was man. And it must have been very, very, I'm not sure what the right word is, but challenging for him to be obedient to the Father and go through that process. And obviously it must have hurt him quite a lot. Now that was the love of Christ, that he went and his whole mission was to die on the cross. To die on the cross, that each and every one of us, as you are sitting here this morning, that you can know that Christ loved you so much that he died in your place. That is why Paul is starting here and he's writing about we are in the right standing. Also in Colossians, we are reconciled to God. It's something so big, and it's something that we must understand here. It's something about the key and the heart of the book of Ephesians. Because if we go back to the Old Testament and before Jesus came, do you know that that mystery wasn't revealed yet? God planned it way long ago in His wisdom. He knew Jesus was coming to earth and He was going to be born from the Virgin Mary and He's going to grow older and then, you know, He's going to start His ministry and He knew exactly everything that was going to happen. But do you know that before the time of Jesus Christ, let's say 2011 years onwards or backwards in time, you know, before that, this mystery wasn't revealed. The Jews, they were the favorite people of God in a sense. And I haven't read a lot about it in Scripture, but you know, I think some of those Amalekites and other guys, at certain times, they must have thought like, geez, how does this work? What have we done wrong? You know, how does this work that God is blessing them and the Joshuas and all the guys, when they go to war, God is giving them favor? You know, but then this new dispensation comes. When you read a bit, it's important that we understand something new came in Jesus Christ. Something new came in the church. And also in this, the second part of this book, Paul is talking about the body of Christ and about equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And that was something that all of us, we grow up in church. Most of us go to church from a young age. I went to church from a young age, guys, but we must remember, the Church of Jesus Christ, there was a time, a long time in history, that there wasn't the Church of Jesus Christ. There was the nation of Israel, but that was only for the Jews. And that was why God was so angry when the Jews went to the other people and they took some of their religion and they married the other people's wives and things like that. God didn't like that a lot, and He punished them for that. But today we can know, all of us, as we are here this morning, that we are Gentiles. So this is really significant for us, that we can know that we're in right standing with God. This mystery has been revealed. He's praying for us. So as Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, this also applies to us. So this prayer for us, that we will know the height and the depth and the breadth of Jesus' love for us. It's something that we must understand. It's something that I believe I'm speaking over you, that all of us can have it in our hearts, that we can live from that place, that when He says, I want to strengthen you, you know, that you will know your foundation is Jesus Christ. You're rooted, like these big strong trees, they are rooted deeply. The wind doesn't shake them easily, and we must be rooted in the same way. Verse 19, the second part, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then we go on to verse 20 and verse 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask for or think, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. That means that power works in us, guys. Do you experience it sometimes in your life? I do. I see it happen. I see people coming to Christ. I see prayer happening, you know. I see just my wife, something small. She really blessed me on Friday on my day off with one or two things, and it was really wonderful. But, you know, she's a hairdresser, and I'm just sharing it on her behalf, but it's significant. This is what we're talking about that power that's working. And she trusted God for a certain amount of money to bless her husband. Now, I married the right wife, guys. That's wonderful. But you know what? She needed to tithe. It's the beginning of the month, and she had a certain amount of money that she actually wanted to use on Friday, but then she needed to tithe it. So she said, God, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to tithe that day. And Skola will know she received the envelope with Skola. But then she trusted God for a certain amount, and she said, God, please give me this amount of clients this week that I can have that amount of money by Thursday evening. You know, and God didn't fail her. God didn't fail, and it was so, I enjoyed it so much to see the testimony in her life, you know, that power of God working in her. She was standing in a relationship with God, she was trusting Him for something, and God came through, and actually someone else also blessed us that for Friday, and it was just a wonderful testimony. So you guys, you can go and you can ask God for something, you can go and you can stand in faith, you can challenge God and ask Him for something. Go and do it. Go and do it. There's something I want you to notice here as well. He says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. That's not the normal type of language we use. You don't say normally exceedingly abundantly. It's almost like saying the same word twice. But that means there's a big emphasis on this. That means Paul is really meaning what he's saying. Otherwise, he would just say abundantly above all that. No? That we ask for or think. So it means that God can give us so much more, exceedingly abundantly, that what we ask for or that what we think. So I hope, for me, this is like 10 little sermons. And I hope this morning that it will be for you similar. That you will get a lot of things to chew on and to go and speak to God about this week. And then it ends off in verse 21. And it says, "To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever." Now you know, guys, in us as a church, we bring God glory. You know, just standing here this morning, worshipping him, bringing our offerings and tithes to God, and just speaking to God as you were standing here this morning and spending time in his presence. You know, that is how we as a church, his body, his son's body, Jesus Christ's body, he's the head of the church. We bring glory to him when we come together, when we fellowship, obviously when we do his will. That is something I also wanted to say. You know, when we read scripture, you know, then we understand about God and about his character, and we also learn to understand about his will for us. About his will for us, because say to someone next to you, God is good. I just get it. Yeah, then we think about God's will for us. And you know, his will for all of us is almost the same. Now there's lawyers and engineers and musicians in church. We're a lot of different people. And doctors and all those different people. But his purpose for us as humans are all the same. He wants us as his people to come into right standing with him, to be reconciled to him, that he can have a relationship with him. That is why we get this beautiful picture in the Old Testament when they carried the ark. You know, that was where God's presence were. Why would God do that? I many times think about it, and then, you know, God wants to be with his people. So that is why we can know that when we have intercession or small group or church, that God is in our midst. He's here this morning. And that's wonderful. It's really something that is significant. Now, I just want to end off this morning by just saying one or two things about the book of Ephesians, that I believe is part of the sermon and part of something that all of us should take home. This is food, guys. This is good food for our inner man. This is good food. I remember, you know, when I was a young Christian, I really didn't understand this inner man thing. And I want to encourage you, if you don't understand it, still, you know, come to Foundation 1. There you will understand. There's a lot of teaching about it, and you'll see it a bit better in a bigger picture and in context. What does it mean? Okay, in the book of Ephesians, the grand message is to praise his glory. You know, that we can give praise to God and to glorify him. The word glory is actually in the New Testament. It's used the most times in the book of Ephesians. And that is why Paul is also writing in this part. He's writing about the glory of God and that we should glorify him. And then also something that is really on my heart this year, that I believe God is laying in my heart, is the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ. He adds to his church. I just want to talk about church all the time. It's important to me, and I know it's important to Christ. And that is also that's also the way that God created, because we as a church, we should go to the nations. We should go to the generations. Now that's our mission statement says that. But guys, that is the Great Commission. That is what's on God's heart. And he built the church. He designed the church that we can work together and that we can do that and fulfill that function. Also, in Ephesians, unfolds the process by which God is bringing the church to its destined purpose in Jesus Christ. I also said about the unity. I believe it's something that is important for us right now, that we understand this concept of unity and that we agree on the things in our ministry, in our church, for us to go forward. And then this beautiful picture, this beautiful part of Scripture, right in the middle of the book of Ephesians, where God is revealing the secret to us. Paul is writing to them, and he knows they are Christians, but he's writing to them and he's encouraging them that they should have a value assigned to know, and I hope you can have that value as well this morning, to know that we are Gentiles and God created a church and we can be reconciled to Him. And I know it's words that we use quite often, but it's weight, it have a weight, it's something, it's really important to all of us. And then it ends off in Ephesians, with the walking worthy of the calling of Christ from verse 4 to 6. And you know, I want to encourage you guys to go in the week and to read the book of Ephesians again, but to read it slowly and to discover every little thing that is there. I'm not looking at my watch because I want to finish, but I'm just looking to see how long I'm preaching. You know why? Because I believe just out of those 7 verses, there's so much more to be said. There's so much more to it. There's more that we can preach on it, you know. But I know that when we pass through that 40 minutes, then most people are starting to think about other things, and it's something that we should keep in mind. We should get some of the Chinese guys in Windhoek, maybe. I know the church in China, they can go on and on. But we worry about, as Naomi said, about the chicken in the oven and things like that. But I'm just making a soft joke at the end of the sermon. But I really want you guys to read Scripture, you know. I'm not the primary force or source that should feed you. It's something between you and Scripture and Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful thing. You know, in the Old Testament, it didn't work that way. Just the prophets and those guys, they were anointed with the Holy Spirit. But all of us have the Holy Spirit. All of you can go. You can read this part of Scripture. You can make your own notes. You can ask God, what does this mean? What does this mean to me? And I hope this morning that some of the things that I said in this, only this small little part of the book of Ephesians, that it would have been food to your inner man, that it would be something that is building you up, something that is blessing you. And as I said in the beginning, you know, for me especially now, I'm just enjoying Scripture so much. And that is my joy, that is my strength. That scripture in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But you know, every time, just to read Scripture, I know I'm saying the same thing over and over, but I want you to have it. Every time when I pray for someone, I especially for you young guys, you know, when you say that you battle and you want to do things the right way in terms of your relationship with Jesus Christ, I say, don't neglect your quiet time. If you neglect it, if you don't spend time with God in Scripture and prayer and worship, then you're not going to feel good. You're not going to feel strong. And we want Jesus Christ to be our foundation. We want ourselves to be planted on that foundation, be rooted in Him. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for this word this morning, Lord God, for only the 7 Scriptures, Father God, but it's so rich, Lord, and I believe that you want to say something to all of us through that this morning. I believe, Lord God, I trust, Father God, that you'll stir something in our hearts, a love for your word, Lord God, a love for Scripture, Lord God, that we won't see it as something that we have to do each day, something that we it's just part of our normal day, Lord God, but something that we can go and close the door, Lord God, and open your word, Lord, and start to reading purposefully from it, Lord God, that it will encourage us and that will give us joy and hope, Father God, and that it will strengthen us, Father God, and Father God, that when we are finished, Father God, that we will be like a spring, Lord, a spring of living water, Lord God, and that our inner man would have been filled, Father God, that we can be fed, Lord God, and when we walk out, Lord God, that the love of Christ will be in us, Father God, that your love and your grace and your mercy will be part of us, Father God, and when we walk out of that room, Lord God, whether we go to school or to work or to anyone else, Father God, Lord God, that when the temptations come, Lord God, when the devil wants to plant the snares of life or anything, Lord God, Lord God, that we will be so strong, Lord God, in you, Lord God, because in our own strength, that doesn't mean anything, Lord God, but that we will be rooted and grounded in you, Lord God, and that we can overcome and that we can glorify your name, Lord God, and that we can know that we can bow our knees before you, Lord, and that we can intercede for each other, that we can intercede for our church, Lord God, for our city, for our nation, Lord God, and for our continent in the world, Lord God. We know we can discern from Scripture, Lord God, that the end is coming, Lord God, every day. It's a day closer and a day closer, Lord God, and Father, we know from Scripture that is your heart, Lord, that everyone shall come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, and of God, that everyone can be in right standing with you, Lord God, that no one will be, yes, Lord God, that their names won't be written in the book of life, Father God. And I just pray, Lord God, that as we come together and fellowship, Lord, and worship and attend small groups and read Scripture as families and as individuals, Lord God, that you will just strengthen us, Father God, that we can be that life-giving springs, Lord God. I really pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to thank you this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we can be reconciled to you, that we can pray the blood of Jesus Christ over ourselves and our families for protection, and that we can be in right standing with you, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that in this week to come, Lord God, that you'll give us sound minds, Father God. And Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ will protect us, Father God, that it will be like a supernatural helmet that we have on, Lord, and that we can put the body of armor, Lord, around us, Father God, and that when the temptations come, Father God, that we can discern it, but that you will protect us, Father God. And I just worship you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask the worship team to come to the front, but what I want to do this morning, I'm not right now going to do an altar call. I'm going to ask all of you, Mary, and you guys, you can come to the stage, please. I want to ask you, I'm going to give 2 or 3 minutes, not a half a minute, say like 2 or 3 minutes. And I want all of you to close your eyes, okay? And then I want you guys to go and ask yourself, what did God speak to me about this morning? What did God, was there anything, as I read it this morning, was there anything that jumped at your face? Anything that I said, maybe anything that you felt God spoke to you as I prayed, as we worshiped. I just want you guys to go back and to end off with that, just to close your eyes and just to go and maybe see what did God speak to you about this morning, or what were your mind maybe in a different place, and then it's something that you need to go and sort out between you and God, because I believe when Scripture is preached that it will bless us and fulfill us. So as they are just going to softly play, they're not going to sing right now, I'm just going to give you a while. And I just want you to look a little bit at the inside. Look at your inner man and ask yourself, what is God saying to you this morning? Amen.